a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission to order. It is approximately 9:30 a.m. We are in room 413 in the Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. My name is Gary Hansen. We have Commissioners Christy Feagin and Chris Nelson with us here as well. We will first check to see who is on the phone with us, and then we'll proceed with the agenda. Robin Nelson.
Yeah, this is Robin Nelson with Dakota Girl Action.
John Ostra.
President, Mr. Chairman, and I also have Pam Bonrud in the room with me.
Al Brogan.
President, Mr. Chairman.
Blue LaFave.
President, Mr. Chairman.
Lee Magnuson.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Hansen.
Ray Farisee.
Present, Mr. Chairman, and with me on the phone is Keith Thorstad from B&H Wind.
Scott Moore.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Tammy Aberle.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Bruce Brecky.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Jeannie Beck.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Christy Ellis.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Craig Nussbaum.
President, Mr. Chairman, and Al Winterton is also with me.
Karen Hyde.
Present.
Greg Diamond. Is Greg with you, Karen?
He is not. He's in a different location.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm present. Forgive me. My phone is on mute.
That's fine. And we have you on two items, 12-124 and 12-127, correct?
Yes, sir.
Wendy Harper.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
And Carrie Roselle.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Is there anyone else on the phone whose name I did not call? Well, and welcome, everyone. We appreciate your attendance today. First item on our agenda is administration approval of the minutes of the commission meeting held on July 30th. And Joy Lashley prepared those. Is there a motion for approval?
Move to approve.
Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Consumer reports. Status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints received by the commission. Ms. Gregg. Oh, Ms. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kristen Edwards of staff filling in for Deb Gregg. The commission received a total of 53 contacts since the last report was prepared for the July 30th, 2013 commission meeting. 9 of the contacts involved telecommunications services, 17 of the contacts involved electrical services, 5 of the contacts involved natural gas service, 6 contacts involved cell phone service, 7 contacts were related to the Do Not Call registry, and 9 contacts were related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,098 of the 1,140 complaints received in 2013 have been resolved.
Thank you very much, Ms. Edwards. Are there any questions? Hearing none. The first docket on our agenda today is under electric. It is EL 13-020 in the matter of the application of Northern States Power Company doing business as XL Energy and Otter Tail Power Company for a permit to construct the Big Stone South to Brookings County 345 kV transmission line. The question before the commission today is, shall a commission grant intervention to any party that may have filed? And we will, we have three entities, and I think first we'll actually turn to staff, and if there's a concern by, since it's Northern State Power, I should ask them first. Are you, Brett, representing Northern States?
I am, Commissioner. Good morning. Brett Kennecke representing XL Energy and Otter Tail in this docket. We have no objection to any of the filed interventions.
Thank you much. In that case, I will ask, since there's no objection, do any of the entities that are requesting intervention feel compelled to speak? I assume not. I was just about to say Commissioner Kramer, but I better say Ms. Kramer.
That's okay with me. Staff would recommend granting intervention to all parties. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions by the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I will move in EL 13-020 that we grant party status to the Brookings County Commission, Basin Electric Power Cooperative, and Dakota Rural Action.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries. Second item is EL 13-025 in the matter of the request for a declaratory ruling by Northwestern Corporation doing business as Northwestern Energy regarding approving a qualifying facility power purchase and sale agreement. Question before the commission is, how shall the commission rule on the petition for a declaratory ruling, or how shall the commission otherwise proceed? And we will first turn to Northwestern.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. This is Al Brogan, and I suspect that you are all familiar with my voice by now. I apologize for that. The Northwestern has entered into an agreement with a QF wind developer, B&H. The contract that we've signed with the developer requires requires PUC approval before going forward. I won't repeat what we said in our initial petition for declaratory ruling or application for declaratory ruling. Staff has filed a memorandum in which it recommends granting a declaratory ruling that the price, terms, and conditions of the PPA comply with PURPA, but also recommends that the commission not find the resulting costs are prudent, efficient, and economical and reasonable and necessary prior to their submittal or rate filing. Staff also recommends that future PPAs should not include or require commission approval. Northwestern really appreciates staff's recommendations. We appreciate that staff found recommends that the PPA does comply with PURPA and is consistent, and also their statement that they believe that the costs incurred are prudent, efficient, and economical, and are reasonable, necessary. Northwestern is somewhat concerned about the process of not approving that portion, however. We believe that the case cited by staff, the EL 11-007 case, is distinguishable, and that normally a utility, as we said, exercises its business judgment. However, when PURPA comes around, that business judgment is trumped by federal law. And secondly, we're concerned about the perverse incentive that seems to be placed here, and that when a potential QF and a utility do not agree, the QF or the utility can petition the commission to resolve the differences, and then the commission's going to resolve those and approve an agreement. Now, it appears that if the parties agree, the parties cannot come to the commission and ask for approval of the agreement, especially on a going-forward basis, and that would seem to incentivize parties to not agree so that they can avoid the risk of potential disallowances or potential adverse decisions of the commission down the road. For those reasons, we would really request that the commission grant Northwestern's petition for declaratory ruling in this matter. And I am willing to answer any questions, and if I can't answer them, we do have Mr. Lefebvre, Ms. Vonrood available also. Thank you.
Thank you. You did a good job of summarizing the Catch-22 interesting challenges before us. B&H, do you have someone speaking on your behalf?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Hanson. This is Lee Magnuson with Lindquist and Venom in our Sioux Falls office. I'm representing B&H Wind LLC, which is a South Dakota LLC. Also on the phone today, we have Attorney Ray Farisee of the Lindquist and Venom Minneapolis office. And with the permission of the commission, I would like to introduce the president of the board, Ron Hornstra, who is attending in person along with the other board members of the locally owned B&H Wind LLC. With the commission's permission, I would like to ask Mr. Hornstedt to introduce himself, if that's acceptable.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. And he's here, and he's about to introduce himself. Would you use Ms. Meyerink's... Thank you.
Thank you. I will introduce the board here, starting on this end with Bruce Voigt, Charles Roth, Ron Wagner, and in one row behind, Steve Shershen, and our project manager, Roland Jurgens.
Welcome. Thank you for your attendance today. Appreciate your traveling all the way here for this. Lee, go ahead. Proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hornstra. The first thing, Commissioner Hansen and Commissioner Spiegel and Nelson, that I would like to mention is that from the perspective of B&H Wind LLC, we want to recognize the professional manner and the responsive manner in which B&H Wind was able to negotiate with Northwestern. They were looking out for their ratepayers as well as being responsive and very professional, and so we do thank them for that. We do support Northwestern on this matter. On the same hand, we have no issues or disagreements with staff's position as set forth in their memorandum. And so with that, unless Attorney Farisee has anything he would like to add, we would just turn it back to the commission.
Thank you. Mr. Farisee, do you have something to add?
Nothing to add, Commissioner.
Thank you. Then Ms. Kramer.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. As noted earlier, staff filed its memorandum regarding this matter, and we would rely on that, and Mr. Rounds is available should you have any questions. I would like to emphasize, and in case it was not entirely clear, that staff believes that the purpose standards as adopted by the commission in F-3365 are met as the parties have entered into a negotiated contract, and therefore the commission should declare the price, terms, and conditions of the PPA comply with PURPA. Staff would urge the commission to state in its order that future PPAs not include commission approval as a part of the negotiated contract. And finally, staff recommends that the commission not make a finding that the costs that Northwestern will incur are prudent, efficient, economical, reasonable, and necessary prior to a review by staff in a rate case filing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does counsel have anything to add or question on that? Seeing none. Questions by the commission? Commissioner Pagan.
I guess of staff. First of all, thank you to B&H and Northwestern for negotiating a contract without a dispute. We are certainly thankful for that, and you guys absolutely did a very professional job on that, and we appreciate that not only as a commission but as the citizens of South Dakota and ratepayers. I do have a question of staff, though. It appears to me when you look at the ruling that the commission made in 1983, I believe, in 2011, and then when... And I think somebody might have their phone on.
Thank you.
So it needs to be muted. Anyway, it looks like to me, and even in your memorandum, that since it lacks, I mean, there is no dispute, we believe we lack jurisdiction from PURPA on several items. It looks like to me that I'm surprised that you didn't dismiss the declaratory ruling. And could you give me feedback on why you didn't dismiss it? Because it looks like to me that we could dismiss it and they can still do their business and PURPA would be happy because we don't have jurisdiction over several items.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer, staff. Our concern was that we do believe it's a good project and should go forward. And if we dismissed it, it would... cause them to go back and maybe renegotiate or start over, and then they would miss a construction season for this year, and the project would not get built, possibly. And so we thought you could declare at a minimum, you know, that it does meet the PPA does meet the PURPA standards.
And this is Brian Rounds for staff. If I can add on to that,
We actually interpreted PURPA to say that we do have jurisdiction in this case, and that we do we set the avoided cost. And what we're saying is in that 1983 order, or in that earlier order, you know, the commission had exercised that jurisdiction and laid out guidelines for this type of project. And those guidelines were that they should negotiate, and the commission should be, you know, kept out of it unless there is a dispute. And so what we're saying is they've done exactly what the commission ordered, which was in their jurisdiction. And so it's really just sort of a summary judgment of this complies.
It's just hard for me to understand, because it looks like to me there is no dispute. They have worked together professionally, which we are all, I think, very appreciative of. They've came up with an agreement that really supports the citizens of South Dakota and the ratepayers also, I believe. And I just can't see why we need a declaratory ruling on this. So there's a portion, and maybe Northwestern can help me with this. There's a portion in your agreement that states that it needs the South Dakota PUC approval. So if you delete that out of your agreement, do you think your project will be delayed?
Commissioner Feagin, on behalf of Northwestern, I guess I would say that the issue here is one of risk and also then responsibility for showing that the risk taken was appropriate. I would contrast this with, say, the recently constructed Aberdeen Peaker project. In that case, Northwestern determined that it needed capacity, determined the best way to meet that capacity, went forward with the project, and will bring it forth in a future rate case. And it's prepared to defend its business judgment that it made the correct decision, that it knew, based on what it knew or should have known at the time that it made the decision. As we stated in our application, absent PURPA, Northwestern would not be acquiring additional intermittent resources at this time. For the most part, we're energy long in many hours, and intermittent resources by their nature are such that you don't know when they're coming. Therefore, while we really appreciate the professionalism of B&H and their willingness to work with us to reach a PPA, both price and terms, that we think are compliant with PURPA, we're concerned that once the if the project goes forward and once it's built, we may be back before the commission and maybe have a different commission or different staff, and suddenly we're concerned about rate recovery of the cost that we incur. I think the commission has experience that sometimes without some sort of certainty, projects don't go forward. Speaking for myself individually, not necessarily Northwestern, I can understand that that's not the regulatory model when utilities are acquiring assets or where they're using their business judgment. But generally, it seems somewhat, I don't know if I want to use the word unfair, but at least troublesome, or troubling would be, to require a utility to enter into certain types of power purchase agreements without some sort of at least indication that they're going to be able to recover the cost they incur under those agreements when they enter into those agreements to comply with a federal statute. It's not like we're asking for pre-approval to build a new plant. It's not like we're asking for pre-approval of a contract that we entered into based on our business judgment. It's strictly, I think this strictly has to do with how we develop, how we handle power purchase agreements under PURPA. As the commission is well aware, we've just gone through a, I can't remember whether it's 3 years or just two, it seems forever process with another QF. We want to avoid those. We think that that was a waste of everybody's time, and we think that this is a method that allows and provides some guidance to utilities with respect to strictly PURPA contracts, not with respect to anything else. And we think it would be appropriate. We do think it is within the commission's authority.
Just a minute. Commissioner Feagin, do you have further question of Mr. Brogan?
I think I'll keep my comments till later. Thank you.
Please, have a chair.
Thank you. My name is Steve.
Wait until there's a button. Well, Sherry will help you there.
Okay.
Thank you. Please state your name.
My name is Steve Sershin, and I'm a member of the board of B&H Wind. One of the other issues we may face if we don't receive PUC approval is we have tax equity partners in financing this wind project, and those tax equity partners are very skittish of any type of additional risk, and they would look at this as, you know, is this wind farm financeable going forward, and what are the risks that are associated with that? I don't know whether they'd ask that question or not at this point in time, but if I was sitting in their shoes, that's one of the questions I would ask to finance this. And the reason we're pushing to get this done is we have to get feet on the ground soon because we lose out by January 1st. So,
thank you. I'm going to ask you to stay there just in case there's some further questions or discussions. And Commissioner Nelson, looked like you might have a question for you.
I do. You mentioned the risk that these potential partners have raised. I understand Mr. Brogan's concern about risk, but I'm not following where the risk would be for your investors and why they would need PUC approval prior to the contract signing. What's their risk?
Their question would be, is this then shows back up again in front of some rate hearing or something else that would impact their return on their tax equity?
But if you've got a deal with Northwestern, how's that going to impact their return?
The financing of the wind farm takes place with tax equity because we receive a production tax credit.
Right.
And that production tax credit goes to those gentlemen, and then there's some gross up based on the rate that's paid. So I can't tell you whether they're going to step away from it or not. I can tell you that if I was sitting in their shoes, not having PUC approval might be an issue. Commissioner Allison, I can't tell you that's for sure or not.
Okay, well, I apologize, and if somebody can help me out here, because I'm not necessarily following what the risk is. If you've got a deal with Northwestern, a signed contract that they're going to, at X dollars, and you're going to get the PTC deal, assuming you get things going this year, I don't understand what the risk is to your partners.
I think
the risk is on Northwestern's side.
It is. But I think the tax equity guys in today's environment look at anything and anything as a way to back away from projects. Now, we can sit there and talk to them and say there is no risk, you're going to get paid. They're just going to say this is just another one of those issues that's out there. So,
okay, thank you.
I agree with you that there isn't a risk, but when you talk to, are there any bankers in the room? They wear suspenders, duct tape, and a belt today. So,
I understand. Thank you.
Commissioner Feagin,
I have a question.
Commissioner Nelson, piggyback on yours if
you
you'd.
I have more questions. Yeah, you go ahead. Okay. I just have one at the end.
Feagin has relinquished the floor to Commissioner Nelson.
I have one question for Mr. Brogan. And coming in here, I was, you know, really puzzled about this, well, the same issue that we've just been discussing, the fact that the contract has this provision in for PUC approval, and you've tried to explain why that's important for Northwestern. And I thought I heard you say that if we don't have this provision for approval of, let's say, contracts without dispute, it almost incentivizes bringing disputes before the commission. Is that correct?
Commissioner Nelson, I do believe that could be a perverse effect of not having a way of getting approval of an agreed-upon contract. Yes. Utilities are risk-averse. That's the nature of our business, is to be risk averse. And, you know, for instance, in our case, we just did get approval of a contract that was a contested case. If those are the only type that are going to be, that you can get approval and so therefore on a going forward basis be somewhat assured of rate recovery, then there's going to be an incentive to have at least some disagreement, maybe not a major one, but at least some, to so that it can come before the commission. The commission can make a decision and you can get that approval. How big of an incentive that is, I really don't know, but I think it can be a perverse effect, yes.
And if I might follow up, but bringing those types of disputes before the commission, and even thinking back to the recent, you know, 2 or 3 year case that we've gone through, I don't believe still answers the ultimate question of prudency, efficiency, et cetera. Am I correct?
In a very technical sense, I think that's correct. I do believe, and I think part of this is going to, if I might, is the staff's recommendation that future petitions for such approval, and I took that to be approval of a contract, should be summarily dismissed or dismissed immediately. We're really talking about two separate things here. It's going to depend on the utility. It's going to depend upon the situation as to how comfortable a utility is going forward with a PPA approved, but without a finding that the costs will be prudent, and recoverable down the road. I think in the case that you referred to, the one that hopefully is wrapping up, that the commission's order approving the contract and in that case actually setting the rates makes it highly unlikely that there would be an argument down the road that the utility could not recover costs. It's a very broad spectrum of going from white to black with a lot of gray, and where each individual PPA and the price in it fits within that spectrum with respect to risk, I think is really hard to say. Quite frankly, it's a conundrum both for the commission and for utilities.
Thank you. I appreciate your response to that. At this point, no more questions.
Thank you for the discussion. Commissioner Feigin, you had indicated you had some.
I have one more question of staff. So if the negotiated contract in the future, if parties agree like they have agreed here, should not come back to the commission, why do you believe it's appropriate now? And I know you've tried to explain that, but I don't see it. I think they can do what they're doing. We don't have jurisdiction on pre-approval, of course, of reasonableness and all those type of things. Why in this memo do you say don't come back next time, but this time we will give you a portion of your declaratory ruling?
This is Brian Rounds for staff.
Wouldn't it be great if I could just come down to your office and ask you all these questions instead of in front of everybody?
This works fine. We don't have an issue with dismissing the case. We just think that we don't want that to be an excuse to delay the construction of the project. And there's a little bit of an issue with semantics here in that, you know, if you look at the PPA, there's a clause that requires commission approval. If you look at the language that was offered by Northwestern, they never actually asked to approve the contract. They asked to approve that it complies with PURPA and that basically they'll get rate recovery. So I don't know, and maybe that's a question for Mr. Brogan, you know, exactly what they need out of the commission.
Well, he already stated he wants pre-approval of the risk issue. But he can't answer the question.
Done. Mr. Isloff.
This is Greg Rislov for the commission. If I could ask, and this could be for staff or for Mr. Brogren, I don't know how many PPAs have gone through our fuel clause in the last 35 years, but I suspect there have probably been hundreds. And although I understand at the base of what you filed, we have a PURPA proceeding. Ultimately, it's a PPA that will undoubtedly, I assume, if this goes through, will be attempted, or at least the company will attempt to pass it through the fuel clause, much like the other tens or hundreds of however many. And I'm really confused why in this case, this PPA ultimately is really any different than any other purchase power agreement than any other utility has ever entered into, and ultimately having to come through, you know, the fuel clause, come to the commission at some point with some risk of having it rejected. I guess historically, I don't want to get into why this law is the way it is, but frankly, it was designed, I assume, to let the utilities make their decision on power purchases, and we ultimately have to determine whether or not those utilities were prudent and diligent in signing these PPAs. But that was always a risk the utility was willing to take rather than have the commission guide every action when it came to purchasing power. The utility was in a position of operating their own company. And frankly, I really am confused where the distinction ultimately will be in this as far as passing through the fuel clause. And I need enlightenment on that because I just don't see it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please go ahead.
I agree with Mr. Rislov that there have been lots, I don't know the numbers, of PPAs that have gone through the fuel cost adjustment process, and that the commission has been extremely fair to utilities. The difference, if I can make the point, and I guess I haven't articulated it very well, so I tried to, is that when a utility, any utility, goes out and enters into a contract, it uses its business judgment. It looks at the information it has. It looks at its needs. It determines whether or not a certain PPA is the best way to meet its need. And based on its business judgment, it makes a decision and then enters into a contract. And then it comes to the commission for recovery. And if the commission were to challenge that PPA, the utility is in a position to defend its decision based on its business judgment. In other words, it actually had a decision that it could make. When we deal with qualifying facilities, the utility doesn't have that opportunity to make a decision. The utility is faced with the federal statute and the FERC rules that say you must buy this power at your avoided cost. And now there may be differences in the characteristics of the power that a utility, well, first off, the utility has to buy it whether it needs it or not. The assumption is that with respect to energy, the QF's energy can always displace something that the company would have generated for itself or bought elsewhere. And that's why we look to the variable cost of generation as one of the factors in determining avoided cost. It's why we look to the market as one of the factors in determining avoided cost. But at the bottom line, once you've determined that avoided cost, you have no choice. And we all know that avoided cost is just an estimate. I mean, we're looking further into the future than we can actually see. We're making projections that we all know won't be exactly right. that's always the case. But in this, but instead of being able to use its accumulated knowledge, its accumulated experience, and make the decision that it would make, that a reasonable utility manager would make, it suddenly is faced with a federal statute that says you must buy this. And that's where it's harder for, you know, in the first case, the utility is prepared to come in and defend its decision. But in this case, it's a lot harder for the utility to come in and defend its decision. About the only thing it can say to defend its decision is, this was required by PURPA. That seems to be a significantly additional risk to place on a utility to comply with federal statute, as opposed to the risk associated with a contract that they enter into based on their business judgment. And I think there's a really big distinction there. And I hope I've articulated it well enough for you, Mr. Rizlov.
You know, and I heard your discussion before, and I understood it before, but the problem I have is definitionally use of the term avoided cost and what that is intended to mean with regard to the utility and its operation. But I really, you know, this, I guess it isn't really the right time to get into discussion the definition of avoided cost, but that's the hurdle I just can't climb over. But I do understand what you're saying. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the commission? The challenge I have with the suggestion from staff is the portion pertaining to looking forward and saying that we would summarily reject and dismiss any future. It sounds like, well, we are attempting to commit future commissions to a position. And I think that three commissioners 2 years from now may be not the same three that are here now. And well, I'm up for election in 2 years, who knows? And, you know, 4 years, 5, 10 years later. So it just seems like it would, unless it's a rule or a law, I don't know that a commission can pass a motion here and commit future commissions to that position. So that's the only challenge. That's one of the challenges, the big challenge that I have with that particular portion of it, just to let you know. Is there a motion or further discussion by the commission? Okay. All right. Motion from Commissioner Nelson.
In order to begin what I think might be an interesting discussion, I move to rule that the power purchase and sale agreement between Northwestern Energy and B&H Wind does comply with PURPA because it was negotiated between the parties based on their determination of avoided cost. But I further move that we decline to rule on the issue of whether the rates in the PPA meet the prudency and just and reasonable standards for retail rate purposes as set forth in SDCL 49-34A-8 and 49-34A-8.4, because, as we held in docket EL 11-007, the legislature has only given the commission jurisdiction to determine these matters in a retail rate proceeding, including a proceeding under SDCL 49-34A-25. And if I might, Mr. Chairman, let me say first, I understand, I think, where Commissioner Feagin may be coming down on this and attempting to make an argument that we should simply wash our hands entirely of this. And I can understand that argument. I think we would have good reason to just flat out dismiss this. But I think what staff has tried to do, and frankly I think they've done a good job of it, is let's see how much of this we can, in fact, give the parties without going where we don't have jurisdiction or ought not go. And I think that's what my motion does. It gives you what we can, but says, you know, we can't go as far as you all are asking us to. And I might note it doesn't get into the committing future commissions, as Commissioner Hansen has expressed concern, and we've left that silent. But I think, obviously, if this were to pass, that would be a certainly telegraphing where this particular commission is on this issue. I firmly believe, as I did in EL 11-007, that this commission does not have the authority to make the prudency ruling at this particular time. That's not the way the statutory scheme work is laid out. That's not what the legislature has asked us to do or expected us to do. But we do have the authority to rule that it has complied with PURPA, and I believe that it does. Let me just say, as an aside, I want to say thank you both to the folks from B&H Wind and to Northwestern for bringing us this kind of question as opposed to what we've gone through in the last two or three years on another docket. There was, as I heard these rumblings in the wind about this other project going on, I was afraid we might be entering into another two or three year affair to hash out disputes. And so I give great credit to both sides for coming to this point and asking this relatively simple question compared to what we've gone through in another docket. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would certainly ask for support on the motion.
Commissioner Feagin, did you have some remarks?
First of all, I want to thank everybody once again for coming to us with a conclusion instead of a dispute. And I appreciate staff's response, and I certainly wish I could go down to your office and just ask you these questions. But, you know, your main concern was if we at least do the motion that Commissioner Nelson has presented to us, we would keep the project moving forward. And I don't think any commissioner probably wants to stop or delay the project. So at least this keeps it going forward, but still kind of states our jurisdictional guidelines. And sometimes we don't have all the jurisdiction that the federal government has done. And I know Northwestern and many of us are frustrated what the federal government has done with many things. So it's not always fair, that's for sure. But thank you for Commissioner Nelson's motion to move it forward, but not to stick us in a box that we can't be in because of jurisdictional issues.
Thank you, Commissioners. In regards to the motion, first of all, we all do want to see B&H to be successful, and we do very, very much appreciate the give and take that's taken place between Northwestern and B&H. It's an interesting situation. None of us here really like bureaucracy, and we find ourselves, you know, being we don't like to be called politicians either, but that's who we are, I guess. And it's an interesting challenge when we can see the end of that tunnel and the light, and we want to get there for everybody, and we want to make things right, and yet the laws are such and the bureaucracy is such that it challenges us to sidestep or move through areas we don't wish to. But the motion is very appropriate. We, from the standpoint of PURPA, we believe that it complies with PURPA. On the same sphere, we're looking at a situation where just as you have to look out for your investors and just as Northwestern looks out for their ratepayers, we have to look out for everybody. And in our sphere of influence, we have to make certain that the consumers are protected and that the utilities are actually protected because they have to be successful as well. And the discussion is proper on the fact that we can't, in the dark, even though we see what the prices are, we can't just arbitrarily say, yes, we're going to approve this without those costs being part of a rate case so that we can see the big picture. And so the motion's very appropriate in that respect, and obviously I'll be supporting it. But I do, like the other three commissioners, want to say that we really do appreciate the fact that you folks all work together very, very well. And I don't see any big challenges or hurdles with this from a standpoint of the commission's decision-making process. And certainly it's an even though there's a catch-22, I don't see this coming before this commissioner, these three commissioners, when we are going to act in a fashion that's going to encourage people to bring rate cases or cases before us as opposed to reaching agreements and coming before us. There was not an intention of a slight towards this commission, and certainly this commissioner doesn't take any. But we really will be working towards a success for everyone here. So we appreciate everyone's participation. And any further discussion on the motion? Commissioner.
And I somewhat agree with staff that I really don't think these agreements have to come in front of us again, according to how I read the PURPA laws and et cetera.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. And thank you all very, very much for your participation. And staff, we really do appreciate the challenge that you are confronted with and the advice that you came up with. Appreciate that very much.
And if I could just say, I want to say thank you to the board for bothering to come up here, watch our proceeding, and hopefully we gave you enough that you can go and build wind towers. Thank you.
We thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you to the commissioners and to the staff. We really, you know, on Northwestern's behalf, we really appreciate your efforts in this matter.
Thank you. And the board chair would like to say something. I'd like him to use the mic.
I would like to thank the commission, and I should have mentioned this earlier, that this is a totally locally owned company down there, and the only reason we actually started it was to try to do some economic development in our area. It wasn't motivated for profit on our behalf, and this board has sacrificed a lot of hours the last few years trying to put this together. Thank you.
Well, we're all smarter because of it, so we appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. The next item on our docket is EL 13-026 in the matter of request for approval of an electric service territory boundary agreement between Montana Dakota Utilities Company and FEM Electric Association. And the question before the commission is, today shall the commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreement? And I will first turn to MDU.
Chairman Hansen, this is Tammy Eberle with MDU. I also have on the phone today Bruce Brecky, our district manager in the Mobridge area, and I'd ask Bruce to just give his summary of the agreement that has been proposed.
Good morning, Mr. Brecky.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have reviewed the electronic version of the maps presented to us by the commission, and I see no problems with them. Everything looks accurate to me.
Thank you. Is FEM Electric represented?
Yes, this is Scott Moore from FEM. We see no problems with maps.
Thank you. Mr. Henry, do you have something to add?
Not really.
Looks good, yeah. Since the parties all agree to it. Are there any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 13-026, move that the commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreement.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Nelson?
If I might just make one quick comment, in going through these territory lines, it's become obvious to me that these territories are becoming more complex and more difficult to get everything exactly right, and appreciate your efforts and look forward to continued work. And with that, I vote aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Dockets under pipeline safety, PS. 13-004 in the matter of the filing by Crooks Municipal Gas for a waiver of 49 CFR 192.285 subsection A subsection 2 and CFR 192.285 subsection C. And the question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the requested waiver? Ms. Zanter, welcome.
Thank you. Staff recommends the approval of the permanent waiver as proposed.
Succinct. Thank you. Crooks Municipal Gas. Would you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead. Good morning. This particular requirement is under a 12-month window, and we are asking for it to be under a 15-month window for requalification. A number of our requalifications are in a 15-month window, and this one would just join the others in being a 15-month window for requalification.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the commission? Go ahead, Commissioner Nelson.
Question for staff. I mean, do we have any concern at all whether PHMSA will approve this?
I have no reason to doubt that PHMSA will provide approval of this particular waiver.
Very good. Thank you.
I don't know about that. They're pretty hard to get along with.
Especially those new staff.
The brand new one up there is going to be just a tiger. We might point out at this juncture that Nathan Solom, who's been with the commission for a period of time, is heading on to greener pastures and with PHMSA, and he will be someone we will probably have a chat with on occasion.
I probably should have asked him that question, just put him right on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know if he can answer it. So, with that, any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Excuse me, do I have a motion? Yes. Yes or no?
I'll move in PS 13-004 that the commission grant the requested waivers.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Anson votes aye. The motion carries. Next item on our agenda is also a pipeline safety requesting, let's see, PS 13-005 in the matter of the filing by Humboldt Municipal Gas Utility for a waiver of 49 CFR 192.285 subsection A2 and CFR 192.285C. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the requested waiver? Humboldt, are you on the line with us still?
Yes, I am.
Ms. Ellis, go right ahead.
I guess what Jenny said, we're in the same group together, and all of our stuff is 15-month based, so we would like our requalifications to be consistent.
Excellent. Thank you. Ms. Sandra?
Staff recommends approval of the waiver.
Thank you. And let's see, questions by the commission.
Do you mind if we get testimony from Gerritsen also and then just have one motion on those two?
You can certainly do that if you'd like. Gerritsen.
Good morning, Commission. This is Craig Nussbaum of the City of Gerritsen. Gerritsen Natural Gas Utility is also with me. Here's my assistant, Alan Winterton. And we're basically asking for the same thing, I guess, without trying to waste any of your time and going over it repeatedly. I guess we're just asking for the 15-month interval also.
Thank you, and that is in docket PS 13-006 in the matter of the filing by Gerritsen Natural Gas Utilities for a waiver of 49 CFR 192.285 subsection A2 and CFR 192.285C. And Ms. Zanter, do you have, now you're just a pro here. So.
Yes, of course. Staff also recommends approval of this waiver.
Thank you very much. Any questions by the commission on either of those two dockets? Hearing none, is there a motion on those two dockets?
Mr. Chairman, in PS 13-005 and PS 13-006, move that the commission grant the requested waivers.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say, you know, there are a lot of complex regulations and rules that these folks have to follow to operate their systems safely, and I appreciate the fact that both the system operators and the staff could come together and say, this is one area that we can make it a little more practical without sacrificing safety. And so I appreciate that on both sides and certainly will support the motion.
Thank you. With that, Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries. Telecommunications dockets TC-12-124 in the matter of the filing by Level 3 Communications LLC for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 3. The question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the tariff revisions as requested? Level 3 Communications. Ms. Hyde, Mr. Diamond.
Yes, Your Honor, Greg Diamond. Actually, I have no comments or anything to add with respect to this other than to thank Mr. Rounds for helping us work through and get the tariff provisions on file in accordance with state and federal law.
Thank you, and you get two extra points for calling me Your Honor. So,
well, I'm a former litigator. I can't help myself.
All right, my wife would get a kick out of that. Mr. Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Brian Rounds for staff. Staff is just going to recommend approval and apologize a little bit for the timing of these. They were filed in end of last summer, and probably partly staff's fault and partly the company's fault. It's been delayed and until we got to the updates that needed to be made this summer. And so we'll just apologize for that, but ask for approval.
Is there any reason we can't take both of them at the same time, Mr. Rounds?
I would prefer.
Ms. Weiss, do you see any reason why we cannot take TC-124 and 127 at the same time? I'm probably taking more time asking than I would just be. In that case, TC-12-127, in the matter of the filing by Level 3 Communications LLC for approval of revisions to update its access services tariff number 3, is also before the commission. Mr. Nussbaum, Mr. Diamond, do you have anything additional to say on this, or will your remarks suffice?
No, the same remarks, Your Honor, before, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Rounds?
I'll just add a little bit of background to this one, in that my understanding is that someone from Level 3 talked to someone from staff and took approximately 10 years ago, and from the conversation was of the understanding that they didn't have to file changes to their switched access tariff. And so this is really all the updates that they've made to their tariff over the last 8-9 years.
Thank you. Are there any questions by the commissioners? Is there a motion on TC-12-124 and TC-12-127? I move that the commission approve the tariff revisions as requested, with an effective date of August 17, 2012 on TC-12-127. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. On TC-13-033, in the matter of the filing by McLeod USA Telecommunications Services Incorporated for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 3. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the requested tariff revisions? McLeod. Do we have McLeod before us on the line?
Your Honor, this is Greg Diamond. I wasn't sure if there had been a motion to approve TC-12-124. Had that happened already? I wasn't sure if maybe I missed that. I apologize.
Yes, TC-124 and 127 were taken.
We're handled together. Okay, very good. Judge, with your permission and consent, can Karen Hyde and I drop off?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so very much, John. Thank you very much, Brian. Bye-bye.
I'm getting you a break.
Okay, now quickly, let's reconsider our position. No. TC-13-033 is before the commission. Is McLeod represented? If not, Mr. Paulson.
This is Eric Paulson with staff. I guess we just recommend approval. They're in compliance with the FCC order with an effective date of April 15th, 2013.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions by the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 13-033, move that the Commission approve at the requested tariff revisions with the effective date April 15th, 2013.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. TC 13-046, in the matter of the filing by AT&T Corporation for approval of revisions to its access services and network interconnection services tariff. Question before the Commission is, shall the Commission approve the proposed tariff revisions? Mr. Van Camp.
Thank you, Your Honor. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Everyone wants points,
Dan. Yeah. Chairman, Bill Van Camp appearing on behalf of AT&T Corp. AT&T has filed a revision to its access tariff to reflect a step down in the terminating rates pursuant to the ICC order of the FCC. And we have answered the questions of staff, I think, and would ask that the tariff pages be approved as of July 1.
Thank you, Mr. Van Camp. Ms. Meyrink.
Thank you. This is Robin Meyrink, co-staff. AT&T Corp. is in compliance with the FCC order dated November 18, 2011, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions by the Commission. Is there a motion?
I'll move in TC 13-046 that the Commission approve the proposed tariff revisions.
Effective date July 1.
Effective July 1.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. TC 13-060, in the matter of the filing by SANCOM Incorporating doing business as Mitchell Telecom for approval of revisions to its intrastate switch taxes tariff number 1. Question before the Commission is, shall the Commission approve the requested tariff revisions, and shall the Commission grant the requested waiver? SANCOM.
This is Wendy Harper with Vantage Point on behalf of SANCOM. Per FCC Order 11-161, in particular in accordance with 47 CFR 51.911, SANCOM filed revised terminating intrastate switch access rates and structure to follow its interstate rates and structure, keeping a revenue-neutral rate per minute with a requested effective date of July 1, 2013. Per staff request, SANCOM also filed a waiver of 2010-27-2.1. We respectfully request approval of the revised tariff and waiver as filed, and I am available for any questions if necessary.
Thank you much. Mr. Carney.
This is Darren Carney for staff. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'd only add that SANCOM's requesting this waiver because they're matching their intrastate terminating rates to the NECA rate, and that creates a discrepancy between their rate and the RBOC rate, the Regional Bell Operating Company rate, and as such, they need to request the waiver pursuant waiver of ARSD 2010-27-2.01, which requires that the intrastate switched access rates of competitive local exchange carriers not exceed that of the RBOC. So that's the only thing I would add. Staff recommends that the Commission grant the requested waiver with language in the order specifying that the waiver only applies to terminating intrastate rates. Staff further recommends the Commission approve the revisions to SANCOM's Intrastate Switched Access Services Tariff Number 1 with an effective date of July 1st, 2013. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? This is a revenue-neutral change on tariff revisions, correct?
Correct.
Is there a motion? I will make a motion that TC 13-060 that the Commission approve the requested tariff revisions and the Commission grant the requested waiver, both in accordance with the stipulations presented by staff with a effective date of July 1st, 2013. Discussion on that motion? Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. TC 13-070, in the matter of the filing by Envoy Incorporated for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 1. Question before the Commission is, shall the Commission approve the requested tariff revisions? Envoy, Mr. Rozelle.
Yeah, Kerry Rosell here from Technologies Management representing Envoy, and I'm available to answer any questions that may come up.
Thank you. Mr. Paulson.
This just is compliance with the November 2011 FCC order, and they're moving their composite rate to parity with that of CenturyLink's. And they request an effective date of July 1st, 2013, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions by the commission? Ms. Wiest.
I just had a question for the company. On your first revised page, number 59, when you look at your... your composite switched access and your tandem switched access. I realize that you reference your terminating minute to your FCC tariff, and I was just curious as to the rate that you came up with that there. Is that based on certain elements then for the composite?
It is.
And can you tell me which elements it's based on?
Yeah, for direct connect access, it should include local switching. If there's an interconnection charge, there's not a carrier common line charge interstate, so it would essentially be local switching. And for tandem routed access, it would include local switching transport components as well. Transport components would include tandem switch transport termination and tandem switch transport facility, and I believe CMUX as well.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Any further questions? If not, is there a motion?
In TC 13-070, I move that the commission approve the requested tariff revisions.
July 1.
Effective July 1.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. In TC 13-084, in the matter of the filing by Bullseye Telecom Incorporated for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 2. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the requested tariff revisions? Bullseye Telecom, are you represented? I do not see them. Mr. Paulson.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson from staff. This one brings them into compliance with the 2011 FCC order. Their composite rate is below that of CenturyLink's, and they also made some revisions to their VoIP language, removing a section that had expired. And they request an effective date of July 1st, 2013, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions by the commission? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 13-084, move that the Commission approve the requested tariff revisions effective date, July 1st, 2013.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. TC 13-086, in the matter of the filing by Sage Telecom Incorporated for approval of revisions to its tariff number 4. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions? Sage Telecom, are you represented?
Kerry Rosell here from Technologies Management representing Sage Telecom.
Thank you. Is there anything you wish to...
No, I'm just available to answer any questions that may come up.
Thank you. Ms. Meyerink.
Thank you. Robin Meyerink of staff. And Sage Telecom is in compliance with the FCC order issued November 18, 2011, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions by the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion?
In TC 13-086, I move that the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of July 1st, 2013.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. We have a few items for announcements. PUC Commissioners and staff will meet with consumers at the Brown County Fair. PUC Commissioners and staff will attend the South Dakota Telecommunications Association annual meeting. PUC Commissioners and staff will participate in an energy efficiency utility workshop. The next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be Tuesday, August 27, 2013. PUC Commissioners and staff will meet with consumers at the South Dakota State Fair. PUC offices will be closed in the observance of Labor Day. Commission meetings are scheduled for September 10 and 24, 2013. And we would like to thank Mr. Solem for his service to the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission and wish him the best in his endeavors in with that other group. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries. We are adjourned.